the haze arrived without ceremony. 1 hour, the islands held their usual light. The next, the sky tightened into a flat brown sheet that pressed down on streets, ports, farms, and open water. People stepped outside and felt the change before they understood it. The air carried grit, the sun dulled, the horizon vanished under a thick veil that seemed to pull the region into silence. Alerts followed fast. Governments warned residents to limit outdoor work and protect vulnerable groups. Flights slowed as visibility fell. Fishermen returned to shore early, uneasy about the muted sea. Schools shifted routines. Hospitals watched their intake numbers rise by the hour. The scale of it felt unreal. A storm born in the Sahara had crossed the ocean and smothered the Caribbean in a single sweep. The question rose in every community. How far would this reach, and what would it leave behind when the sky finally opened again? Chapter 1. The sky that closed in. The first signs showed before dawn when meteorologists on several islands noted a shift in the upper atmosphere. A dry layer moved in from the east at an unusual pace. By mid-morning, the Caribbean light that usually sharpened coastlines began to flatten. The horizon lost its edges. Crews at airports on Trinidad, Barbados, and St. Lucia called in reduced visibility reports. The dust plume from the Sahara had crossed the Atlantic faster than expected, and it hit the region with weight. On the streets, people stepped out of their homes and felt the change as a physical presence. The air tasted rough. The sun dimmed behind a thick sheet of haze that carried no clear movement. It did not look like fog or smoke. It looked like the sky had folded in and pressed down on the islands. Government centers reported the first spikes in particulate readings. Bulletins went out, stay indoors when possible. Protect workers with long outdoor shifts. Expect worsening conditions through nightfall. The dust plume was massive. Satellite images confirmed a sprawling brown mass stretching from West Africa across the Atlantic. Its reach covered thousands of miles. The Caribbean had seen dust before, but this one carried a scale that pushed experts to look again at long-range transport patterns. The phenomenon itself was well studied. Strong winds lift fine sand and mineral dust from the Sahara. Weather systems move it west. The Caribbean becomes a landing zone. Records of this cycle date back centuries. Sailors once wrote about skies turning copper as ships neared Barbados. Farmers in older generations described weeks when the air felt heavier, when plants carried a faint layer of grit. The region has lived with this rhythm for a long time. What made this event different was its thickness. In Dominica, an early afternoon sun vanished into a dull orange glow. On Antigua, visibility dropped until distant hills faded into a soft blur. Ports reported navigation adjustments. Fishing vessels stayed closer to shore. Airport runways operated under tighter spacing between landings. The atmosphere looked static. No shift in wind direction, no sign that the haze would clear quickly. Scientists monitoring from regional weather centers released updated terminology to help the public understand what they were seeing. A dust plume is a mass of airborne minerals lifted high into the atmosphere. Particulate matter refers to the small, solid particles suspended in air, many invisible to the eye, but potent enough to change conditions. Long-range transport describes the movement of these particles across continents and oceans. None of this reduced the tension on the ground. People wanted to know what would happen next. The plume grew darker by the hour. In Kingston, residents watched shadows thicken across rooftops and city streets. Drivers switched on headlights at midday. On St. Vincent, teachers kept students indoors during breaks. On Grenada, outdoor markets worked under makeshift coverings as vendors tried to keep dust off produce. The haze clung to clothes, skin, and windows. It covered cars in a faint brown film. It muted conversations. Even indoor spaces felt different. Filter systems strained against the rising load. By early evening, regional authorities held briefings. They repeated the guidance: stay aware, limit exposure, keep children and older residents protected, monitor respirable air quality levels. No one used dramatic language. They stayed measured and calm, but the pressure was clear in their voices. This was not a passing cloud. It was a weather event with real weight. The environmental shift echoed through the islands. Birds flew lower. Light bounced strangely off the sea. Coral researchers on several islands noted that the filtered sun dimmed water clarity in a way that felt unnatural for the season. Marine patrol crews described the coastline as wrapped in a dull belt. The sea did not glitter. It absorbed light instead of reflecting it. Everything looked paused. Across the region, people kept checking the sky. There was no blue, no direction, just a heavy lid stretching from one horizon to the other. Even those familiar with dust season felt unsettled. This plume carried a depth that forced new questions. How long would it hold? What was building inside it? And what would the next day look like if the pressure increased? As night came, streetlights created halos in the thick air. The haze moved differently under artificial light. It did not drift, it hovered. The islands felt smaller under the weight of it. Residents shut windows and waited. Airports prepared for another day of restricted visibility. Emergency centers tracked updates with quiet focus. The region braced for a long stretch of dimmed skies. The dust had crossed an ocean with steady force. Now it sat over the Caribbean as if it had always belonged there. And the question hung tight in every island. What deeper strain would reveal itself when daylight returned? Chapter 2 Lives Under a Darkened Sky. Morning came with no relief. The haze held its grip, thick and unmoving. On every island, the first voices of the day carried the same tone. People stepped outside, felt the sting in the air, and pulled back. The dust settled on doorsteps, windowsills, and open stalls. Even quiet neighborhoods woke under a pressure that seemed to settle into every surface. This was not just a weather shift. It was a force that pushed into daily life without pause. In northern Trinidad, a fisherman named Hale returned to the docks earlier than usual. He had taken his boat out before dawn, hoping the sea would look clearer offshore. It did not. Light barely reached the surface. The horizon dissolved into a soft brown curtain. He said the water felt wrong. Too still, too dim. He cut his trip short and told others to stay in the shallows. He had lived through many dust seasons, but this one pulled at his instincts. Visibility was too low. The sea felt unpredictable. Across Barbados, traffic slowed as drivers navigated through muted light. Some wore masks meant for construction work. Others wrapped cloth around their noses. A shop owner near Bridgetown opened late because customers moved slower through the haze. She wiped dust from her displays every hour. It came back just as fast. She said the air carried a quiet weight, like a storm that refused to land. Teachers on St. Lucia adjusted their routines again. Children stayed indoors during breaks. Fans and air filters ran constantly. Some students complained of itching eyes. Others felt tightness when they breathed. Administrators monitored class time carefully and kept communication lines open with parents. The dust did not ease as the hours passed. It settled inside buildings through the smallest gaps. On Antigua, a construction crew worked under shortened shifts. The foreman kept his eye on the sky and the workers' pace. He told them not to push hard. The dust made every breath feel thick, and no one knew how long the plume would hold. Equipment collected a fine layer of grit that forced extra cleaning. The crew's progress slowed, and deadlines shifted without argument. Safety took priority. The air was not normal. In smaller coastal communities on Grenada and Dominica, fishermen stayed close to shore. Families avoided beaches. The sea color changed as suspended particles filtered sunlight. Reef watchers said the water lost its usual brightness. They described it as a dim plate stretching to the horizon. The environment felt unfamiliar. The islands that depended so heavily on natural rhythms moved through each hour with caution. Residents across the region noticed subtler changes. Birds flew erratically, adjusting to reduced visibility. Gardens struggled. Leaves collected dust and drooped under the extra weight. People who normally spent evenings outside stayed indoors instead. Cafes that relied on foot traffic ran half empty. Conversations shifted from daily routines to shared frustration and unease. No one could escape the dust. It reached every corner. Some islands with strong monitoring systems released updated reports through the day. They listed particulate levels, wind patterns, and projected clearance windows. But the certainty was limited. Forecasts changed with each new reading. Smaller islands with fewer resources relied on regional agencies for updates. This created tension. Some residents felt left behind, waiting for information that arrived in small fragments. In St. Vincent, a marine biologist named Lorna stood on a pier and recorded the color shift in the water. She took notes on how light penetration changed by afternoon. The reef zone looked darker than usual. She spoke with divers who noticed suspended material in the water column. None of it signaled immediate danger, but the pattern was clear. A thick dust plume from thousands of miles away altered the sea within days. Shop owners in town centers wiped their counters repeatedly. Dust clung to refrigerated cases and display racks. Restaurants fought constant residue on tables. Workers grew impatient. They joked about sweeping the same spot 10 times. The humor was thin. The air carried too much weight for comfort. By nightfall, the tension across the islands became more visible. People closed windows early. Families kept children inside. Outdoor events were postponed. Health lines handled higher call volumes. The haze thickened under streetlights, forming wide halos around every lamp. It made the cities look suspended in dust. Each island faced its own strain. The plume exposed gaps in monitoring systems, strained local economies, altered daily routines, and bent natural rhythms. No one could ignore it. The pressure grew not only from the dust itself, but from the uncertainty wrapped around it. What would happen if conditions worsened? What would the environment look like after this passed? The day ended with no answers, only a region waiting under a darkened sky. Chapter 3, when the sky began to lift, the clearing did not come fast. It began as a thin break in the haze over the eastern horizon. Satellite updates showed gradual thinning in the upper layers, but the air on the ground still felt heavy. Residents stepped outside early and watched for signs, unsure whether the shift meant relief or the start of another round. The islands held a quiet anticipation. After days under the plume, any change carried weight. Research agencies across the region released morning summaries. They broke down the event using measured language. The dust load ranked among the strongest recorded in recent years. Transport patterns showed intensified movement from the Sahara, tied to shifting wind systems and warmer conditions in parts of the Atlantic. Scientists avoided dramatic conclusions, but they noted consistent signals. Large dust plumes were becoming more frequent. The region should expect more events like this as climate systems adjust. Across Trinidad and Barbados, deposit samples showed increased mineral content on roofs, vehicles, and open fields. Soil scientists used the opportunity to map where dust settled most heavily. They explained that dust from the Sahara has long-shaped soils across the Caribbean, adding nutrients in some regions while stressing vegetation in others. The complexity of the material made the aftermath an important part of understanding the event. Dust did not just arrive. It stayed and altered the landscape in small but lasting ways. Marine researchers on St. Lucia and Grenada examined how reduced sunlight affected shallow reef zones. Divers reported dimmer conditions even after the surface haze began to ease. Some coral patches showed early stress indicators, though not severe. Scientists noted that repeated dust events layered with warming seas could push fragile systems closer to threshold levels. It was not immediate damage, it was accumulated pressure. Public health agencies delivered updated guidance. They clarified what was known. Fine particulate matter can aggravate respiratory conditions, strain vulnerable groups, and reduce air quality. They repeated that staying indoors during peak hours, using air purifiers when available, and limiting strenuous outdoor activity remained the safest options. They also described what remained uncertain. How long residual particles would linger depended on wind shifts, rainfall, and local geography. Some areas would clear quickly, others would hold the dust longer. Communities felt the change as day progressed. On Antigua, the haze thinned enough for distant hills to reappear. On St. Vincent, fishermen returned to deeper waters and found visibility slowly improving. In Kingston, the city lights regained their sharpness as the dust dispersed. People reopened windows. Schools resumed normal schedules. Markets filled again. The islands moved with cautious optimism. The pressure in the air finally eased. But the aftermath carried its own tone. Residents saw how easily a distant storm could sweep across the region and disrupt lives in a single push. Agencies discussed strengthening monitoring networks, improving public alerts, and preparing for longer dust seasons. Environmental groups called for deeper study into how repeated events interact with warming seas, stressed reefs, and shifting rainfall patterns. The dust had exposed vulnerabilities that stretched beyond health and visibility. In the final briefings of the week, scientists spoke plainly. This event was not isolated. It fit a pattern of intensifying dust transport linked to broader climate trends. More heat in key regions, stronger atmospheric waves, and unstable wind belts could mean larger plumes ahead. The Caribbean would need to adapt. As the sky began to return to its usual blue, residents moved with a mix of relief and caution. The sunlight looked brighter than they remembered. The sea reflected again. Children played outside without hesitation, but the memory of the dimmed days lingered. The islands had lived through a force that crossed an ocean and held them still. It left questions that would not fade quickly. The dust settled into soil, reefs, roofs, and routines, and the region understood that it had only seen the beginning of a longer shift in the world's climate rhythm.